Hey coaches, Adam here. As we kick off summer, I want to encourage coaches, especially those engaging in fall seasons, to start developing your leaders today. Do not miss the opportunity that the summer provides to start shifting the mindset of our players and start engaging and exciting them into their leadership and character. There can be tremendous momentum established in the offseason as you get ready for the upcoming season. Take advantage of our coaches membership filled with different drills, activities, and exercises that can start being used today. So when the season starts, there's been momentum established, standards have been risen, and your athletes are performing at a higher level than ever before. Take advantage of the coaches membership. Don't take the summer off.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam Bradley alongside Kyle Elmendorf. Today, we're going to be talking about the need to create that leadership environment within your team. And that may sound strange. It may be intriguing a little bit when we talk about creating that leadership environment. You know, there's a lot of teams that don't necessarily put major focus on leadership development. It's not an intentional part of their program. If you look at their calendar, it's not in their calendar. There's no set aside times. The consistency of what their leadership looks like and their development looks like is, you know, maybe a guest speaker on occasion, maybe 60-second sound bites from head coach at the end of a practice about we need leaders to step up, and it is just spoken at a very high kind of conceptual, just as some general theme of leadership, but certainly nothing of nuance, nothing of development, just almost a theme-based kind of touching on it at times. And that is the extent of their leadership. That is the extent of the leadership development and environment that they are creating or essentially not creating. And there's a major ramification if that is the approach to leadership development. And one of the biggest approaches is not that we won't have leaders that step up and lead great and know how to lead and all that. It's that the environment to which they are operating in is actually not one that is producing leadership. It is not one that is fertile creating leadership. It's not one that is allowing individuals to step out in leadership being propped up and supported. It's not a theme in their program that's great enough for me to live that way. See, what happens is when it's not an intentional part, it almost becomes awkward or random. Yeah. Or out of place for the players within it to step out and lead great, because it's not what we'd like. Whoa, what is he doing? Whoa.
It feels unnatural.
It doesn't feel part of the program. One of the things we have to constantly be doing, and it is a byproduct of intentional leadership development, is creating the environment where leaders can lead with confidence and everybody can embrace it with confidence because it is part of who we are and what we do. Kyle, yes. You know, I've said this before. It's one of my concerns when I hear athletic directors, for example, do leadership councils with athletes. Once again, in and of itself, not a bad thing. 100% not a bad thing, right? In fact, I encourage for an athletic director, and you hear many of them doing this, doing extra work with the captains and such of the various teams. Great. Please do more of it. Fantastic. We'd love to help you with that, right? I want you to be even more successful with it. How can we help? Let us know. My concern, though, in those settings is that in some cases, probably not all, but in some cases, those players are simply going to go back to teams where leadership is not a driving focal point. It is not really kind of presented regularly. It's not teed up. It's not a fertile ground for leadership to live and thrive and grow. Them stepping out to lead, to celebrate, to address, to confront, isn't actually part of the culture of that team. It's not conducive to the style of the coach. So then all of a sudden they do it and it doesn't land well, or if many cases they don't do it because they know it won't land well. And that's my problem. We're spending a lot of time here, but if the environment within the team isn't one that is welcoming of it, embracing of it, and supporting of it, it probably won't go anywhere.
No, and I think the first thing that we have to do is really audit the program and audit that environment. And then the way to do that, what naturally comes to mind is film study. And I say that because if we're looking at our performance on the field or on the court, we always go back to the film to tell us what's going on. Well, we can notice some of those same similarities just by, you know, the body language and interaction. But what if we actually paid attention to the leadership culture the same way that we paid attention to the way that we run our offense or our defense or we execute those sets? We're constantly trying to put that environment and prop up the environment for success there. So when we start to look at the leadership on the team, whether we're dealing with collegiate athletes or high school or even our younger athletes, one of the things that always prevents them from stepping up to lead is the fear that exists, the fear of rejection, the fear of not being heard or listened to or someone ignoring them. And if we go back to human nature, the brain's job, and I always tell our athletes we're working with, our brain's job is to protect us. It's to protect us from feeling, you know, the dangerous situations. And so when we encounter a situation, you know, for an athlete, if they were younger and they stepped up and they tried to lead and someone just looked at them with a blank stare, kind of glazed over, and it went in one ear and out the other, you know, what we reference is leadership lives. Well, one of those lives is now gone for that individual. And so if they get to high school and they step into an environment where leadership isn't celebrated or encouraged, or it's not really developed, it's just talked about occasionally, that person's not going to step up at any moment when they can offer leadership because the brain is going to tell them, hey, remember that last time you did that? And they just looked at you like you were crazy. That didn't feel very good, did it? So don't do that because you don't want to experience that again. So we have to realize we're dealing with people. They're not robots. And if we're doing that, we have to create the environment that is going to allow them to thrive in that. And the way to do that is by day one, you have to be intentional by it. You can't wait till mid-season and you're 1-4, 2-3, and you're like, oh, well, I wish we had better leaders. I guess we should, you know, maybe start talking about that a little bit. It has to be there from the beginning.
You know, as I've kind of continued down the path of lead them up, me personally, Kyle, I've done so much reflecting on my role in the sessions. And for many cases, not every session is a little different depending on the theme and the group. But in many of the sessions, I really land on the spot that I need to take on the role of the facilitator. Okay. Yeah. And that is a very different responsibility than, let's say, the coach or even the teacher. See, when you look at...
I was going to think of instructor. You're right. It's the facilitator is different than the teacher or the instructor.
So when you look at the definition of facilitator, it is to guide the individuals to uncover the learning for themselves. To guide the individuals to uncover the learning for themselves. And I say this because some of the things I do during the sessions that I work with, which is the same things you can be doing in the leadership sessions with your teams, I'm guiding them. But in many ways, not only am I guiding them, what I'm ultimately doing is creating an environment where leadership can live within this space. I'm helping facilitate conversations to be had in this environment that wouldn't otherwise be had. I'm facilitating the level of support amongst their peers that can be developed and nurtured and grown upon that without the environment wouldn't. And it's really a matter of facilitating, you know, and I think about it. Let me give an example here. as you have seen, we do some work in the professional space. We work with corporate and such, not just athletics and schools. There's a portion of our kind of partners that are corporate. Recently, I was with a local HVAC company, an HVAC company, right? Yeah. Shout out to my guys at Honest Air, one of the largest, most successful HVAC companies here in Maryland. And I got connected to the owner, good friend of mine, friends with his fiance, known her for many years. And she kind of teed it up and kind of made the connection there and was like, told her fiance, hey, this would be great for your team, for your guys. Frankly, though, he was a little uncertain about it.
Yeah, I mean, deservedly so. I mean, doesn't really know much about it, so everyone's going to be a little skeptical, sure.
Yeah, so he's a little uncertain about it. He had never done something like this. He wasn't sure quite how his team was going to respond to it. You know, he kind of joked about, hey, we're HVAC guys, right? And blue collar, tough, right? Just all those stereotypes of...
Like gritty,
gritty. And I get it, man. They're up in the ceiling rafters during the heat of the summer, right? I mean, they're doing physical work. Like, how's it going to go over with these guys? Okay, it's never been done before. Part of my job with them, it's to coach, it's to teach, man. I really reflect on the fact it's simply to facilitate. It's to facilitate conversation. It's to facilitate the growing of this environment within this team that can engage in conversations, that can engage in leadership that they never would have previously. And it has played out exactly that way. For example, right, Andrew Lohr, I mean, we had to get a video testimonial of him because the way he this was a couple of days after the first couple of trainings, he called and said, Adam, I just got to tell you about what's happening within our team. I like after that call, I was like, can we get you on video saying some of this? This is like fantastic, right? Yeah. He said, Adam, he's like, after these last couple of sessions, I got to be honest, I've never seen my team respond this way. First of all, they're all in. Everybody's going above and beyond. You're hearing statements like, hey, is there anything else I can do for you? Hey, today, hey, anything I can do to just kind of help you out today, make your life a little easier? These proactive statements. Proactive, initiating being one of their green standards, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you begin to hear people engage in conversations. They said, Adam, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've never heard my guys at any point of any stops in any of my HVAC kind of engineering type fields engage in conversations about how can I help you greater, right? What can I do to help you? Hey, let me help coach you up. Hey, I apologize for not being as open and approachable yesterday after that job. These conversations were starting to be had. They started addressing, hey, you're being real red today. He said, I had one of my guys come in and say, listen, forgive me for a moment. I'm going to be red for a minute. Okay. Fair. Totally fair. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be red for a minute. I just got off a bad job. He said, people were picking up the phone saying, Andrew, give me a moment. I'm going to be red for a moment. He said, Adam, I can't believe what I'm hearing from my guys. Never before. What that is demonstrating is that environment. Mm-hmm. You see, it's about creating an environment where leadership can thrive, where it actually is embraced, where it actually isn't out of place, where it's welcomed, where it's actually encouraged. It becomes part of our DNA, part of our quote unquote culture that we do this stuff. We help out this stuff. We talk about how we're showing up today, right? We lifeguard one another when we're down in these moments, right? And it has reminded me that he could sat there all day, like many coaches, and want to see his team respond that way and act that way. To your point, Kyle, not seeing anyone step up as leaders, right? Where are my leaders at? Like, that's where you've got to step up and say something. And you need to, listen, the environment doesn't really suit that. Man, I spent 13 years before I went full-time lead them up in an organization that frankly, like, wasn't huge on professional development, wasn't huge on leadership development, wasn't major emphasis on culture, things like that. It just wasn't. It was more of a, get the job done, sales, 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 let's grow, 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 right? It wasn't about like how you feeling today, things like that, you know? And frankly, as a result, right, the culture of that organization took on the personalities within the culture. And the personalities was, we're getting on a call and we're going to talk about our sales numbers, what opportunities are ahead of us, and that's what we're going to do. Okay. Like it was awkward. It was awkward at times. Like I've always lived this way and I will go counter. Even if my organization isn't necessarily going that way, I will. I was like the only person that would ever like the celebration was not part of it. Right. So like people looked at me as like this over the top celebrator of others. Right. This like, oh my gosh, Adam's always celebrating people. Not really, actually. No one else is just doing it. Right.
So it stands out. Yeah.
So it stands out. But the reality is like, I'm just, when it comes to leadership, I love this stuff. So like, I'm going to do it. Right. But I'm probably rare in that regard because most people will do what everyone else did. Just kind of fall in line with the environment, fall in line with the culture that's currently established. And most of them aren't producing high levels of leadership within their people. Cause that's just not what it's being focused and emphasized.
I think too, where people got to realize and it's easy to fall into the trap, and we've all done it. I know I certainly did it when I was coaching as well, is you want to win, and winning looks different for every type of organization or team, but everybody wants to win. And so sometimes we do focus on that a little bit too much to where we lose sight of what actually allows us to get to the win. And I always think about like, what are the things that we see most shared, most talked about on social media? Or what are some of the great sports movies that we all identify with or the teams that we love? And they all go back to the culture that you're talking about. They all have that. And it's like that, and everyone shares and likes and will retweet is like, that's what it's about. That's what I want. And, but then when it gets down to it, we feel that pressure to meet the whatever the winning looks like, to where if I'm looking at a basketball program, I remember it was one of the first times we had a losing season. We were at like Thanksgiving break, and you know, we didn't have the most talented group that year, and our ceiling, probably with the schedule we have, our ceiling wasn't going to be a winning season or a district championship or something like that. And I felt myself getting caught up too much in comparing the wins and losses and trying to get back up to the winning record and then leaving some of the other cultural, other leadership pieces by the wayside. So I think it's always a good reminder. And when we hear about the environment that sets up for those conversations, we got to realize that the environment creates the situations and the conversations, and those situations and those conversations are what actually leads to the winning. And sometimes that might look a little bit differently, or it might take a little bit longer, but we can't leave that to chance. And it's something that, you know, when it happens, it becomes powerful because, as you mentioned with the HVAC story, the owner, you know, didn't necessarily initiate the conversation with you, came on board, saw it, but the power was, is now that goes from, you know, the owner-led company to the employee-led company, because those are the ones that are having those conversations. They're embedding it into their company language. Now it becomes part of their culture. The same thing's true with the sports team.
And don't get scared at that statement you just made. When it goes from an owner-led company to an employee-led company, because many people could get scared of that statement. Let me just remind you, when it becomes that employee-led company, the owner wins.
People want to stay. They're
people
not
want to stay. They give more, retention's higher, engagement's higher, culture stronger. Same on our teams. When the players lead it, the coach wins. Okay. Right. But it's once again creating that environment.
Hello. This is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's leadership nugget. You don't have to try and create the perfect life to have an amazing story. Simply start with a solid direction you want to head, followed by hundreds of course corrections as you march on your journey. One way that helps me do this is to bookend my days. This helps guide me, reading at the end of the day something positive that fills my mind with the thoughts that give rest and reflection. It can be a short devotion or article that rests the soul. In the morning, begin by journaling and creating some space to reflect. Margin to imagine the day. Write those down. It will help keep crafting your destination, those important course corrections, or simply the next sprint race as you write your story. Bring patience, persistence, and courage to allow this space and permission for discovery. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
If you've paid attention to my social media this week, we did some summer kickoffs with some of the football teams here locally. And these are all returning teams that have relationship with and have been through the program at length in the past. You know, each year we start with the green team because it always begins anew. And even if they've heard it once before, there's a good chance they don't know all seven of the rules. And, you know, it needs to continue to get instilled and reinforced. This year decided to have individuals actually facilitate the session in place of me. So I supported them, sure. But each of the seven rules had them actually in advance, gave them 2 days in advance, told them which rule that they were going to speak on, told them they had to prepare 60 to 90 seconds worth of content around that rule, their own experience, why this matters, what it matters to them, maybe a personal experience of how it kind of affected them or played a role in them. And they had to get out in front of the team and present. And we did it. And it was fantastic. Naturally, you get some that are more animated than others, some that are more thought-provoking than others, some are more reflective than others. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine. The ones that you know, maybe didn't kind of deliver the charisma on the rule or kind of share, you know, maybe I stepped in afterwards and kind of put more meat on that bone of that rule, where some were so good that I literally came up after and said, I got nothing else to say on that one. He nailed that one, right? Let's move on to rule six, right? Whatever the case may be. It was part of this theme of why we're recording this episode. Part of my hope is to continue creating an environment where leadership can live and thrive, where the voices of the players is not uncomfortable, where them sharing personal things is not uncomfortable, where them kind of taking ownership of some of the direction of our leadership and our team is not random or out of place or, you know, the result of some power tripping young player who thinks he's the best and know it all and is trying to do too much, that it doesn't feel that way when one person begins to do it, that it is part of just who we are. It is part of the environment within our team, you know, and you begin to hear things that are incredible. Jackson Rood. Let me tell you about Jackson. Jackson is an offensive lineman at Winston Churchill High School. My man has elevated. He has boosted. Man, he put on about 45 pounds this offseason from last year, from his junior to senior year. I asked Jackson, a young man who's got a couple of D1 offers in his pocket right now. Great potential, great kid, 100% green. Will certainly be one of their first verified over there. I asked Jackson, I said, Jackson, all right, you're going to share rule seven, as I was kind of assigning all the different rules to everybody. Rule seven will be yours of the green team. Those in the gray live in a safe place, but nothing special can be built there. My guy Jackson goes up to the front. And man, this dude just starts sharing. And when I say sharing, I'm talking about getting reflective, getting personal. He began talking about his freshman to sophomore year that he admitted he was gray. And he said it was easy. He talked about how it was comfortable, how he, you know, he would always just do enough not to get Coach R upset with him. He never wanted to get in the doghouse of Coach R. So he would never do anything to disrupt that, but he would never do anything extra, right? He'd work out, back home, write some video games, like just do the bare minimum, okay? Mm-hmm. And he said, man, his freshman, sophomore year, that was him. That was him. And he admitted going into his junior year, he really began to make some shifts to get himself into the green. And just recognizing, like, if I can get into the green, how much better things will get. And he shares all this. And he talked about this shift of him getting into the green last year in his junior year. And now him living in the green, how it has changed the game for him, right? He's put on weight, it's muscle, he's got D1 offers. Like, holy smokes, he's changed the game. He probably is a player that probably could have stayed in the gray and he probably would have got D3. You know, he probably would have played somewhere in college, right? Had a, you know, relatively decent career and, you know, maybe got an honorable mention, you know, maybe in all county. I mean, now he's flirting with like all state, you know, things like that. And he shared that it is safe in the gray, but nothing special can be built there. And I'm reaping the benefits of that decision to jump into the green. Are you kidding me? Kyle, are you kidding me?
You know, I mean, how many high school kids are talking like that? How many are willing to actually be vulnerable enough in front of their teammates to admit that?
How many programs even create an environment where that can actually be shared in a setting that can be shared? Like, where would you ever share that in some teams that, you know, if your leadership consists of a guest speaker every once in a while or just 5 minutes, hey, we need leaders to step up. And that's really it, right? You know, hey, does anyone have anything they want to say just randomly out of the blue? You know, those requests that coaches always want to say, like,
anyone else got something to add here? And everyone's don't call on me. Don't look at me.
Hey, oh yeah, man. We're open door policy. Come in my, you know, you can come in my room anytime. Right. Hey, anyone, they got anything anyone wants to add here? Everyone just looks at them like deer in headlights. Like, that's not an environment that's bringing that out of them. Are you kidding me, dude?
I'm just laughing at the open door policy because it's so true. In any walk is like, well, I said I got an open door policy, but no one took advantage of it. Why not?
Listen, man, people that say they have an open door policy or no one ever walks through those doors, right?
Yeah. If you have to say it,
you don't have an environment that produces it. Bottom line. Right. But like, let's say you randomly get that coach. Anything anyone wants to add here, right? Jackson jumps up and he starts going into that pitch. That would be like the most random, like the rest of the team looking at him with like three eyes. Like,
well, there's no context there at all.
What is up with this guy? Like, what is up with Jackson? Like telling us his whole life story, getting all emotional on us. Like, what the heck? It would be so out of place. And think about that. Think about teams that leadership vulnerability is out of place. Listen to what I just said. How unfortunate is that when leadership vulnerability or leadership moments become out of place, right? That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is. One of the things that just popped to my mind as you said that, and the way that you said it in our recent episode, we had Thomas R. Williams on there and he played professionally. And one of the things he talked about in being able to lead other people comes from a place of empathy, from walking in a walk where you're trying to lead people that are now in that space. That doesn't happen without an environment that's conducive to it happening. You can't just have an individual get up in front of the team and share that without feeling, you know, like it's going to be embraced or accepted, but also not living that out. It's leadership isn't this, you know, do what I say. It's come with me because I've been there and I know what it takes, or I know how you feel. Like, I was gray before. I was gray because I only did the minimum. Let me show you now as a freshman how you can be better than what I was and how you can get there faster than I did. And that is where the environment happens for us. And that's why it's so important. Is it's not, you know, it's like we said, it's not the, you know, 5 minute before a game speech. It's not someone just be like, oh, we need to be better. Because when I remember playing, that's what I thought it was. It was the sound bites. It was the rah-rah speech. And that's, you know, we've talked about that before, but I don't want people to miss what you're saying on the power of someone being able to get up and be vulnerable and share. Because when they do that, people are now going to follow them at a greater level, and they're going to realize their leadership has much more power than they ever thought, simply by the coach creating. Now, the coach isn't the star of that. And as going back to the very beginning of this, just the facilitator, just creating that space and that environment. And that's the power. And it's intentional, though.
And then later, when you come back around and say, hey, listen, we need to hear more of your voice at practice. We need to hear more of your voice, you know, in the locker room. This isn't an unfathomable request. It's not a request that's unrealistic. Like, you already have a voice, right? We already hear your voice. It's already being supported. Let me hear more of it. Got you, coach. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, oh gosh, what do I do now? Like, what do you mean you need to hear my voice? Like, oh gosh, this is going to be awkward. Oh, like, do I do it? Like, do I go all in today or do I slow ramp it? You know, like, oh gosh, everyone's going to look at me all funny, man. I haven't done this. Like, what the heck? Right. All these like thoughts start processing, then anxiety and, you know, uncertainty, and then they lack confidence. And I mean, there's a spiral that's unhealthy. You know, I think about my guy, Iverson Howard. Same deal, right? During these kickoffs, very similar to Jackson, Iverson, stud running back. This guy was a starting running back as a freshman on a state championship team.
Wow.
Got his ring. His sophomore years, once again, still starter, of course, gets another ring. This guy like knows nothing but championships. He's only a junior. Already has offers to Georgia, Michigan, Florida.
So get that boy down to Florida. Come on.
Listen, he's a beast going into his junior year, giving him that voice early, doing all this extra work with him. Man, I gave him rule 5 to prepare for. Those in the red are great recruiters. This guy, and I tweeted it and posted it on Instagram yesterday, he goes up there. He gives a master class. I'm not kidding. He gives a master class on Reds recruiting. It was unbelievable. He talked about, right, when he first came into the program, right, back, you know, a couple years ago, like, man, some of the previous guys were always like, he started kind of working out with them early, right, because he was like kind of advanced, you know. He was like, man, all these dudes try to be recruiting me. And he's up there. He's like, man, they'd be like, man, you don't need to go work out today. Try to recruit me in the red. I looked at them and be like, I ain't listening to you. I ain't getting recruited. I'm going to practice. Like he starts like kind of acting like a role play. He started doing this back and forth, like scene between a recruiter and him trying to get him to like not show up at practice and not go hard in workouts and things like that. You know, they tell me, yeah, you good. You don't need to do 8 reps. I look at him like, boy, I'm doing 8 reps. He's got this little slang. He's like, boy, I'm doing 8 reps. You ain't recruiting me to the red. No. He was like, and by the way, we ain't going to have any Reds recruiting in this team because we try and go back. And he starts doing this and it actually created a dance. Like it actually kind of the way he presented it, he basically was like, because we try and go back. It's a back. And then literally as he did it, it was almost like he was like going into song a little bit that got everybody like, oh yeah, back. And everyone starts clapping. Literally, it was like a show. It was like a show, man. Right? It was awesome. I posted a little bit of it yesterday, right? They're trying to go for a three-peat, okay? Once again, trying to create an environment where these messages can live, where they can be embraced, where they feel comfortable delivering them, and it's supported, and it's grown and nurtured, and more frequently. Let's get deep here for a moment, Kyle.
Do it.
A couple of years ago, I got certified as a practitioner for an organization called the Leadership Circle 360. It's a professional leadership circle profile, one of these 360 assessments where individuals kind of go through the assessment. They get about 10 peers to evaluate them. And then afterwards, they sit down with me for 90 minutes on a debrief. And we go through all the results, and it's really powerful. Oh my gosh, it's actually life-changing. Leadership Circle 360. It's fantastic. It's been established in many ways as the gold standard of 360 profiles. I know there's Myers-Briggs and DISC and StrengthFinders. This one just seems to be at an elevated, kind of more comprehensive, nuanced kind of reading there. During these 90 minutes of the debriefs, I'm with the individual and we go deep. We spend the first 30 minutes, Kyle, digging into their childhood. I mean, we go into memorable, shapeable moments and memorable and shapeable individuals in their life, right? At 3 stages of their life, going all the way back to childhood in the beginning. And what happens is, as they are talking, I'm looking at their circle profile results, and I am simply connecting dots in my head of things they're saying and the results I'm seeing in their current score. And there is always parallels. There are things being kind of communicated about experiences as childhood and such that you begin to see kind of prohibiting them in various areas of their leadership. or in some cases, things that happened in their childhood that are allowing them to kind of lean into what they call their competencies of their leadership.
Yeah.
There have been many instances where leaders struggle in their ability to foster team play, to mentor and develop, to produce vision, to have courageous authenticity within their conversations. There's a lot of times there are lack of scores in those areas, and you begin to peel back the layers and you see this history of living in a home environment that doesn't produce it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really mirror it. You know, you'll hear people say, yeah, my parents never really used the word they love me.
Yeah.
They never really shared those words. I know my mom loved me, people would say, you know, because she would do things for me and work so hard and, you know, like put a roof over my head and clothes over on my back and food on the table, but never said she like loved me. I never really heard those. Or, you know, one shared, you know, it wasn't until my dad was in many ways on his deathbed. It was the first time I'd ever really heard him say he loved me. I hear all these stories. Mm-hmm. And you begin to see these stories, and all of a sudden, in many cases, it's showing up why some of these leaders in their current role can't lean into certain spaces. It's uncomfortable for them to get there, right? Maybe many times they are exhibiting withdrawal. They pull back emotionally, right? Because they're not willing to open up and kind of be vulnerable and such. It reminds me of the conversation we're having, Kyle.
Yeah.
They spent years growing up in an environment that didn't really allow those behaviors to thrive. They were growing up in an environment where those behaviors of being vulnerable, celebrating, in those cases, saying, I love you, little words of affirmation, things like that. The environment didn't produce it. It wasn't conducive of supporting it. It would have been too awkward to do it. It would have been too uncomfortable to do some of those things. And there may be some of us on the phone or listening right now that, you know what, you can relate to that. Like your upbringing wasn't very conducive to like saying, I love you and things like that. And as a result, you didn't really do it. And if you did do it, it'd have been really awkward and really uncomfortable. You would have got like three eyes from the other person. Like, whoa, what's up with him? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Get that lovey dovey stuff out of here, whatever, you know, get that out of here. You know, we don't do that here. It's just a great reminder that like, we will then take on the personality of the environment we live in.
Yeah, we haven't really delved too much into this, and I think maybe it'd be a great topic, you know, and if you're listening, let us know if you want us to record on this. But what I'm going to is like the nature versus nurture part of ourselves. And when we apply that to the team setting, whatever type of team we're working on, and we relate it to, you know, all things being equal, the nurture, the environment plays so much of a role on who a person becomes or how they see themselves. And for us in leadership and working within teams in multiple different capacities, just think about that for a minute, is if we know that it's true, that nurture plays just as much of an important role as the nature, right? And people always debate that, you know, leadership is born and these leaders are born, they either have it or they don't. Well, no, it's you can create an environment that is more conducive to creating that. But the person is always going to go back to more of what they've experienced. And then again, deeper psychologically, that gets to the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind never turns off. It's always running. And what fuels that is our past experiences. And those past experiences come from the everyday interactions that we take for granted on the environments that we've, you know, created and allowed to live in. So it really can't be understated enough and probably needs to be, you know, overstated on how important that is.
Yeah. Well said. And that nature nurture conversation, we certainly could go really deep into that. Coaches that are listening, a great reminder in today's episode, just simply the need to build that environment and that our players will either that they will respond to the environment that they are in. And if we're creating that environment, giving them opportunities, allowing them, this is when you begin to see the leadership thrive. And the reality is also, you know, if the leadership isn't thriving, if you're not seeing it grow and develop, to your point, almost do a film study on your program, right? Is your program really allowing that? Is it really kind of creating that fertile ground for a young person to be able to kind of do that and do it comfortably and have everyone else know why they're doing it mm-hmm. and understand the context of it and such. And it's not just some out of place, awkward, right? Dynamic. Create the environment that allows leadership to thrive. Shout out to all those that are doing it, because there are many out there doing it so good. So good. Yeah. And I know this message resonates for all those coaches. Would love to hear what you have to think on this episode today, if this was helpful. If you want to reach out to us at any point also to kind of maybe talk specifically about how you can help make your leadership thrive in that environment more conducive to leadership, we'd love to kind of help give you some, you know, just kind of hear more about your program, maybe give you some ideas, some strategies on how to do that. You can always reach out to us via email, adam@leademup or kyle@leademup.com. Certainly love for you to follow us on social media. You can check us out on all the major pages, search Lead 'Em Up, and you will see us pop up. We're the only ones, folks, right? We're the only Lead 'Em Up out there.
Only one.
Hey, we're here to support you. Coaches, have fun and lead 'em up.